How you doing, everybody? This is Harlem, and this is episode number 29 of Fresh Ubuntu. Thank you for joining me. And I remember last week I told you that I was feeling kind of under the weather. Well, now I'm feeling much, much better. A lot of it has to do with the weather around here and the late flu season as well. Two of my kids are still fighting this, you know, fever, stuffy nose, that kind of thing. And hopefully it will be over in maybe another few days. I'm pretty sure it'll be fine. They've been getting a lot of bed rest, as have I this past week. Getting to bed early, taking my vitamins, and overall drinking more water and eating healthier. The weather around here is, you can't tell what's going on. You know, one day it's close to freezing, the next day it's in the 60s, and the climate is kind of weird around this time of year, transitioning from winter to spring. And then on top of that, we have the time change happening this weekend. By the time you get this podcast, of course, it will already have been changed for you. Apparently, it's 3 weeks earlier. Be that as it may, I should be to my old self again in, roughly about a month. So, anyway, St. Patrick's Day coming up this month. I think this week, even. So, I'm hoping you have a good time this week celebrating St. Patrick's Day. With that, why don't we go ahead and get started with the show? And of course, the first thing we have is the news. Right, the first item today, we have a couple of big computer manufacturers thinking about pre-installed Linux operating systems on their desktop computers. And, you know, I think that's a smart idea. The first one is Hewlett-Packard. The headline states that HP is seeing huge deals selling pre-installed Linux desktops. Hewlett-Packard has been closing custom deals for thousands of desktop PCs running Linux, which has a company assessing the possibility of offering factory-loaded Linux systems, says an HP executive. We are involved in a number of massive deals for Linux desktops, and those are the kinds of things that are indicators of critical mass. So we are really looking at it very hard. Doug Small, director of open source and Linux marketing at HP, he also states we are in a massive deal right now for multi-thousand units of a desktop opportunity for Linux. That is an indicator. He declined to give details about the Linux deals. HP is doing it, and also as well, Dell has also been considering again offering Linux to its customers. If you remember ideastorm.com, which was Dell Computer's customer listening inbox, well, they had a great big and even overwhelming support of getting open source, i.e. Linux operating systems, on their machines. And if you remember also that they were kind of hesitant to put it on there, to say the least, because they did not want to choose a specific distro to put on their desktop computers. Well, now, dated March 6th, Dell is considering offering the Linux operating system as an alternative to Microsoft Windows on its personal computers, says a Dell spokesman. PC Maker said it received more than 100,000 requests, that is, customer requests, for Linux in a suggestion box posted on Dell's website less than 3 weeks ago. They state that they are listening to what customers are saying about Linux and taking it into consideration. We are going forward. Let's say certainly stay tuned. And by the way, the Linux operating system on their desktops was the most popular request made by customers from their suggestion box website. The second most popular request was that they offer another open source software title called OpenOffice to compete with Microsoft Office programs, including Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. Here's what I say to Dell and HP. You know, make up your minds. There is a market out there, obviously. Why don't you just go ahead and offer it? If you're unsure which distro to install onto the systems, why don't you ask the customers again? Four or five good ones should cover the majority of it. Or if that's not feasible, why don't you try rolling your own distro? How about that? Here's what you got to do. Get a really good branded distro, rebrand it under a different name. You might want to call it Delbuntu, or how about Delora? That'd be good. You know, folks, I need to publish a tutorial on how to roll your own distro, or better yet, publish a tutorial on rolling your own distro and then sell it to Dell and HP for $1 billion. Take that, YouTube. And of course, you already know that Feisty Fawn Herd 5 has been released. And so some of the cool changes out there are latest package 4 Get It plugins has been uploaded to the universe, and several other updated versions of packages have been already as well uploaded to the repositories. Feisty is going to include a number of changes to provide SPF sender policy framework checking with Postfix. SPF is the most deployed email domain forgery protection technology today and was codified by the IETF in RFC 4408. For more information, check out www.opensPF.org. Feisty is going to be the first Linux distribution to include everything needed to do RFC 4408 compliant SPF checking. The Python SPF library has been updated to the latest release, and a companion Postfix policy server is also included for a pure Python approach. There's also a new Perl SPF library with a companion Postfix policy server. I'm going to post a link to Peter's blog, who did a short little info post about Feisty Fawn Herd 5. And you can look forward to that at freshubuntu.com or at freshubuntu.org. And that's going to do it for the news this week. Thanks for joining me. Let's go on to the next segment. Now this week, normally I would highlight a certain package that might be available in the repositories or maybe on just gnomefiles.org or at SourceForge. But this week, I want to be able to highlight something different, which I think is going to be rather important, especially to the Linux community and to people podcasting. This week, I want to highlight a new type of MP3 player with Ogg Vorbis support, and that is called the Vibes. It comes in an 8GB model and a 12GB model, and included is rechargeable batteries, of course, USB 2.0 cable, Sennheiser earphones, a line-in cable, and of course a manual and a software driver. From the looks of it, it looks beautiful. It's kind of ovalish in shape. Anyway, some of the playback functions are it will support MP3s, WMA, WAVE, Ogg Vorbis, and FLAC. It will be WMA DRM9 compatible, say if you purchase music on the internet, or if you purchase or rented on the internet, it will also be WMA DRM10 compatible. It has M3U playlist support as well as WMP playlist support. You can edit your own playlists. You can crossfade between two songs. You can have gapless playback or seamless playback of live music or consecutive tracks without gaps in between. As far as the hardware is concerned, you have a full color TFT display with 176 by 132 pixels, maximum of 12 gigabytes of space. That's enough space for 250 albums, powerful lithium-ion battery charged via the USB cable for a maximum operating period of approximately 20 hours. Integrated voice recorder to record notes, of course. It has and the back cover made of high-grade steel. It has an image viewer with sorting functions based on picture data. You can run a slideshow. It has an equalizer with 5 predefined equalizer settings, a shuffle function, an intro function, adjustable play speed, files that can be deleted directly on the player, and a digital clock. It's suitable for Windows Vista, Windows XP 98ME, Mac OS X, and Linux kernel 2.4.x. You can use it as a storage device, and you can accessorize as well with an FM tuner card, a spare battery, and several different types of skins or coverings for it. This looks really cool, and I will post a picture and a link to where you can get one of these on my website. A media player with Aug Vorvis support. About time. And it's called Vibes, and the website in the U.S. is at www.vibes.us. You can check for the link at freshubuntu.org or freshubuntu.com and check it out. It's a really beautiful media player. Dare I say it looks much better than the iPod. This week we're going to pimp our panels on GNOME, something a little impractical, I suppose, or practical maybe, depending on what you pimp your panel with. And I know there are probably some of you who are saying right now, I'm a serious Linux user, and I don't have any need to pimp my panels. And I say to that, go ahead, nobody's looking, and everybody's doing it. All right, so anyway, let's get started with pimping our panels. So the first thing you want to do is, if you haven't tried this already, let's backtrack a bit. In GNOME, you have panels that are typically on the top of the screen and at the bottom of the screen. You can also put panels on the side screens, but for my own preferences, I choose to have them only on the top and the bottom. For that matter, the top panel is what I call the menu panel or the launcher panel. That's where the menus are, and that's where I put all my launcher buttons, launcher icons. Basically, the panel is just sort of a placeholder for various types of commands or icons or launchers, and sort of a status bar as well, too. Much like Windows taskbar at the bottom. To get started, right-click on the panel that you wish to add something to. You would just simply press Add to Panel. And after you have done that, it will pop up a window, the Add to Panel window. And among the things that you can do is you can add an application launcher and a custom application launcher. Of the two that you would want to use to add an application launcher icon in the panel, I suggest using the application launcher versus the custom application launcher. The application launcher shows you exactly what applications or packages that you have available, whereas the custom application launcher wants you to input the exact command that will launch the icon. So if you don't know that offhand, I suggest using the application launcher. However, if you want to be able to customize using different icons, maybe even different names for the applications, you can, of course, use the custom application launcher. And so of the things that you can put on your GNOME panel are several things. You have accessories, desktop and window items, system and hardware items, and utilities. They give you several choices here. For instance, in accessories, I chose to put sticky notes on my GNOME panel. And sticky notes is a little widget that will put a sticky note on your desktop. Among other things, you can get investment charts and weather reports and other quirky little things like a GIs, which are a pair of eyes that just kind of follow your mouse around. And now my suggestion is that if you want to put something on your panel that is somewhat useful, my suggestion would be to put the system monitor on there. And if you want to put that on there, what you can do is you can either drag and drop the system monitor onto the panel, or you can just double click the icon. It will automatically put the system monitor onto the GNOME panel itself. Once you get the system monitor on there, what you want to do is right click on the little black box that showed up onto your panel, and this will give you some more options. And if you have done this, you will see that the system monitor preferences windows comes up. It allows you to monitor several things. Among other things, you can monitor the processor, the memory, the network, the swap space, the load, and the hard disk. Now you can tell that by looking at the bottom of the system monitor preferences window. You'll see the tabs at the bottom there with the tab headings processor, memory, network, swap space, load, and hard disk. But at the top, if you wish to have all these things monitored, then you'll have to check each box separately. And so I find it helpful to monitor everything that I have present on my computer, other than a network. I don't have a network going right now, but if I can monitor the processor, the memory, how much memory is being used, the swap space, what is the load on my system, the average load on my system, and the hard disk activity. You're able to also size the width of the monitor. Currently have it sized at the default. And you can set the monitor update interval to whatever you wish to you want it to be. I just am going to keep the default settings, you know, just because it's sufficient for what I am doing right now. So after you've done that, you will now see however many windows or system monitor windows that you have checked off under the monitored resources section of the system monitor preferences window. And so you have essentially pimped out your GNOME panel with some really cool visual representations of the load on your processor, your memory, your swap space, yada, yada, yada. So that is just a small little tip on pimping out your panel. Just one little tiny tip that I'm going to give you, a bonus tip. If you are wondering how you can start a package or a program on startup, well, the easy way to do that would be to go to the system menu up at the top panel, go to preferences, and then down to sessions. And from there, a sessions window will pop up, and you have three tabs in that window, namely sessions, session options, your current session, and your startup programs. If you go up to the startup programs tab, it gives you a way to add a program to run at startup. So, again, you're going to have to know the command that starts that program, but it should be simple enough. Just press the add button. Enter the command of the program that you wish to start up at the beginning. Press OK, and then again, close. You also have options as well to turn off certain programs that you don't want to start up in the beginning. So a very useful little tip. I have Yawquake loading up at startup as I do a few things on the command line. I like to look at the man pages on the command line, run specific commands that I'm going to highlight for the command line command of the week. So a couple of little tips, pimping out your GNOME panels, and just a tiny little tip on how to have packages run on startup. So, and that music that you hear means that it is now time for the command line command of the week. And as the techno-Latin rhythm sweeps you away and hypnotizes you, I want you to concentrate on this command line command, and that is a utility called sed. That's right. That's what I said. It was said. That's right. Said. Anyway, said is an editor. And it's not like other editors. Number one, it's not screen oriented. And it's also not interactive. Two things that you probably don't want in an editor to begin with. What you do is run the said command with commands to be executed on data at the command line or in a script to be processed. When you write it in, forget about any ability to interactively edit files like in Gedit or even Microsoft Word or other editors. Said accepts a series of commands and executes them on a file or set of files non-interactively and unquestionably. So as such, it flows through text as water would through a stream. And thus said fittingly stands for stream editor. Aha. Now what you can do use it for, and one of the basic uses for it, is to perform repetitive edits that would take considerable time if done manually. The parameters can be as limited as those needed for a one-time use of a simple operation, or as complex as a script file filled with thousands of lines of editing changes to be made with very little argument. Said is indeed one of the most powerful and useful tools in Linux and Unix tool chest. Now the syntax for said is the word said, S-E-D, space, the options, followed by a space and then a apostrophe or a single open quotation mark, the command that you want to issue, and the close quotation mark, another space, and the file name. And perhaps the most popular and most common ways that said is used is the substitute command. And the syntax for that is said followed by a space, followed by an open apostrophe, the letter S, slash the old value, slash the new value that you want to input in place of the old value, then another slash, and then, of course, for the closing, single quotation mark. I'm going to direct you to a couple of websites that fully explain and give you a tutorial on how to use said. Don't even bother reading the man pages, because it's just too much and too complicated to even begin to understand it. So, and that is the command line command of the week. That's right. That said, enough said. Made it to another week, another episode of Fresh Ubuntu, and thank you again for joining me this week. Don't forget, you can visit the show notes at freshubuntu.com, or you can visit the new site, which I will be, which is freshubuntu.org. Thank you so much for listening. I don't know if you've already have visited either one of the sites, but I did put my picture up there as promised, maybe not on the day that the podcast came up, but it is up there. I have to admit, I did change it around a bit, and what I did to that is I cropped the picture, basically just put the headshots in there, and then made it black and white for a little artistic flair, I guess. But that's me. That's the real me. The other person in there is my oldest boy. He was just there at the time that we took the picture. And so anyway, he's now, I call him the next internet star. So anyway, his name is Meshach, and I hope you enjoyed that picture. Maybe I'll put a few more up as posts in my blog. Thank you again for joining me. Again, the website address is freshubuntu.com or freshubuntu.org. Feel free to leave a message on my voicemail, my Gizmo voicemail, And that number is 1-775-262-9332. And when you call, I think you get about a minute, maybe a minute and a half, to leave a message. You know, it is a voicemail. It's not a place you can, you know, make a podcast or anything like that. But if you want to say hi or whatever, you know, leave a message, you can call me on that. And or you can call me if you're using the Gizmo project. My handle is FreshUbuntu. And don't forget, you can always email me at FreshUbuntu@gmail.com. And I believe I have a contact form at my website. Just press the contact me button. And that is going to wrap it up this week. Thank you again for joining me. Have a good and safe St. Patrick's Day. Do not drink and drive, please. And if you must drink, give your keys to a designated driver. Drive carefully and have a good time most of all. And I will see you again real soon. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.